What I'm about to do, I need your ears. So everybody, tell everybody, listen. He's only going to hear, he's only going to sound at one, the voice once. He's only going to let you hear the voice once. Okay, so I want to test you, see if you can identify voices that are outside your head. Okay? So, you have to listen very carefully, because I'm only going to play the voice once. It's not going to be repeated. Now, in the story I'm going to share with you from the Bible, it's several times, but only once. So listen carefully, okay? So, can you identify these voices? Now, sound up. Thank you, because it's important. Okay, I can't replay these. That's the way I've designed this. Okay, ready? I'm impressed. Good job. Okay, that was JFK on his inaugural day. He only had one inauguration because he was assassinated in his first presidency. So, and he goes on to say, world, ask not what America can do for you, but ask what you can do for America. I don't remember that one. See, if he said that today, what would they do about that, huh? Okay, another one, ready? Okay, it's Rihanna. Rihanna. Okay, pay attention now. Listen very carefully. Only once. FDR. Yeah, you were close. It was the president. FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Yeah, I had to edit these because it says, and now Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So inaugural, I just, well, that gives it away. All right, listen carefully. Yeah, she wore a whole meat thing to an Oscar thing once. That's Lady Gaga. Yeah, that was Lady Gaga. Yeah. I think she's, I didn't see it. I did research, obviously. Oh, this is another good one. You got to pay attention. I'll let this go a little longer. Did y'all get it? Kim Kardashian, yeah. She's on Star Trek Next Generation of Kardashians. Did you know that Bruce Jenner was her father? I didn't know that. I did not know. Stepdad? Oh, stepdad. That explains the genetics. I could not figure that out.
Her biological father
defended OJ. Oh, that's the guy. I know him then. I remember now. Okay. All right. Another good one. Got to pay attention. You all know this one, but just pay attention. Rumor is he did this ad lib. He'd gotten a very credible assassination, a death threat, and he was so shook he forgot what he was going to talk about. So he changed everything and did this message. Now, I don't know how accurate that is because I've not researched it, but the research I have done seems to substantiate that. So it's interesting. A phenomenal message, by the way. I wish we'd hear him today, don't you think? Recognize his voice even. All right, one more. One more, ready? Listening? It's God talking. Do you recognize God's voice? Yeah, I thought, oh, this is going to be funny. We've got to do this one. God has a voice. Actually, I was going to do it in Spanish, too, just for fun, because everybody knows in heaven you speak Spanish. I say it's Hebrew, but that's another story. Every people group, they think that's the voice of heaven. It's like, no. Yeah, Moishe. I thought, I got to do this. It was a five-minute clip, so I didn't bore you with it. But anyway, you got the idea that you got to listen carefully, and you only get one shot at it sometimes. Now, it was real fascinating, because if you're listening to somebody talking, there's always some noise in the background, and you miss a word. Have you had that happen? And that noise just kind of distracts us, and there's a lot of noise in our heads, let's be honest. It takes you, on average, they suggest 2 weeks to 21 days to clear the noise out of your head before you can hear clearly. Now, if you've practiced meditation or any kind of solitude, that's really true. And a lot of times I'll have my quiet time in places I can't see my books or my computer. Because why?
Distractions.
Yeah, they're distractions. Yeah, you walk in my office, oh, I should read that book. Oh, I got to get that done. Oh, I got to just, and where's my head? Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere but where it needs to be. Yeah, we're supposed to be focused on the Lord. So a lot of times we got to really work hard, as we talk about in Sunday school, practicing the discipline of listening. We talked about active listening a little bit, about following that person along, which we're active listening to the Lord. And you come out of this today, this morning, if you forget everything else, because the Lord deeply loves you, he will speak to you. Tell somebody that. Yeah, he will speak. That's not just because he loves me more than you. Dickie and Tommy have that problem, but you guys don't. No, we don't have. Yes. So I want you to understand that this is it. That the fourth reality is the Lord speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. So he will speak to us, and we talked about this in the opening message, the introduction. He speaks to us primarily through the Word and uniquely through dreams and visions. And then most commonly through circumstances. So those are basic ways he speaks to us. You get these impressions in your heart, in your soul, that you know the Lord is speaking. And I like what was said this morning in the video we watched this morning in Sunday school. None of the people in the Old Testament questioned that there was the Lord's voice. That was fascinating. And I've taught that in other ways, but it just crystallized. But wow, that's really good. Because we sometimes question, is that the Lord's voice? Now, Gideon had a problem, right? He had the weak faith. He kind of wanted to make sure that it was the Lord's voice, but he just had no faith that the Lord was going to do what he was going to do. And I would love to tangent on Gideon right now, because it's not SEAL 6 team that the Lord left with him. He left him the Beverly Hillbillies. So we got to move on from there, but the Lord speaks to us even when we do not recognize his voice. The Lord is speaking to us even though we don't recognize his voice. If you haven't found 1 Samuel yet, you need to find 1 Samuel. I'll be reading from the New International 84 version. And it's on page 350, if you have that Bible. So page oh, there was a day three of us had the same Bible. Yeah. So, yes. Okay. So 1 Samuel, we're looking at chapter 3. You may have a heading that says, the Lord calls Samuel. We're going to notice some things in this. So allow me to read the first couple verses here. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare or very precious, or wasn't a lot around. There were not many visions either. Now you may recall that who was Samuel's mother? Hannah. Hannah couldn't have children, so she was there at the temple praying that the Lord would honor her, and Eli thought she was drunk, but in fact she was praying and very, very overwhelmed at the inability to have children, because in those days if you were barren, you were crushed. You were cursed. You were cursed and crushed. Okay. And womanhood was defined as having babies. So if you didn't have a baby, you couldn't be called a woman in the culture that day. But she was promised by the Lord to have a baby, because she said, Lord, if you give me a baby, I will what? I'll give him back and he will serve before the Lord. So once he was weaned, and sometimes it's 3 years old, sometimes 4 years old, but once he was weaned, he was then brought to the temple area, or they called tabernacle back then, to serve before the Lord. So now he's a little older. The word here that when he was a boy is fascinating, the boy Samuel. So he's anywhere between 10 and 14. So he's still fairly young. Okay? And it says here, one night, verse 2 says, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple, and some suggest the tabernacle, because the temple wasn't born yet, or built yet, of the Lord, when the ark of God was. Verse 4 then says, the Holy One, the Lord, Yahweh, bless his name, called Samuel and said, Samuel answered, here I am, as he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lie down. So Samuel went back and lied down. Verse 6, again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Hineni, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. It's twice now, okay? Third time, verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He's been in the temple for several years, didn't know the Lord, and Eli was mentoring him. Pretty interesting, huh? Okay, and then it goes on to say, the third time, the Lord called to him, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then, oi, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Took the priest a while to figure this out, right? So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Sound familiar? As we did for our scripture reading. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Okay, so that's the drama right there. First of all, I want you to notice that the Lord offers us several chances to hear. The Lord offers us several chances to hear. Those first couple times, he didn't recognize the Lord's voice. And there are times you don't recognize the Lord's voice. And as Blackaby said, we have a lot to learn if we don't recognize the Lord's voice. And we'll talk more on how to recognize the Lord's voice as we move into this message here. But I want you to first realize you get a lot of chances. You get a lot of chances. Now, I only gave you one chance to identify those, and you did really well, by the way. But, you guys did well. But sometimes the Lord says you got to get it two and three. Remember the vision that Peter had? He got three shots at it. The sheet came down three times. But how many did Cornelius get? Who's the better listener? Yeah, probably Cornelius. Because sometimes we have preconceived notions, we have pre-understandings that when we hear the Lord's voice, no, that couldn't have been the Lord, because I believe this. And so we eliminate what the Lord's saying by our pre-understanding instead of just hearing the Lord's voice and acting on it. The Lord provides a mature nudge. You like that? A mature nudge. Eli said, go and lie down. If the Lord calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Sometimes you need a mature nudge or a kick in the whatever part of the body you want to choose. Okay, but you need to be nudged. Say, hey, go listen to the Lord. Go listen well, okay? And then let's move on now, verse 11. Well, actually, I got to finish verse 10 there. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel. Like that Moses voice, Samuel, Moses, you know. I'm sure the Lord talked in a much nicer tone. But at any rate, you get the idea here. But I didn't notice this till just this week. The Lord did what? He stood there. Yeah. This is what they call theophany. Okay, where Jesus shows up before he was incarnated in the person in Mary, in Mary's womb. So here it is. He stood there. Samuel. I don't think he said that. But he said something like Samuel, he called out his name. Okay, and I like what it says here. The Lord reinforces his presence. The Lord's going to reinforce us. Let's read on a bit here. And then the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel and will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. Verse 12, at that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifices or offering, because they mocked sacrifices and offerings. So this is the first thing that Samuel gets to hear. Cool. I get to be a judge guy. I get to be the vent. That's not what he was he? No, he didn't do that at all. He was overwhelmed that the Lord came to him to judge his mentor. Pretty hard, huh? Yeah, sometimes we got to do upwards, what they call management, but upwards managing or parenting upwards, because parents don't know what they're doing or managers don't know what they're doing. So we've got to do it right. So the Lord reinforces his presence by some heaviness in your soul. Someone else is coming, you've heard it two or three times, and you get this impression, it's just you cannot escape this impression, the Lord's reinforcing his presence to tell you something that you must deliver. Sometimes it's reinforcing in a positive sense, it's always good, but sometimes it's hard. It's just very difficult because what you have to say. And notice then as well, the Lord delivers his message to Samuel, and it needs to be delivered. Verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning. So he's pondering this. Didn't say he slept. And then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel answers. What is it he said to you? Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. This is pretty bold of Eli to do this, but he knew his time was at an end. He knew that the judgment was coming because he failed to discipline his children. Verse 18, so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord, he is the Holy One, he's Yahweh, bless his name. Let him do what is good in his eyes. So Samuel delivered the message. It was not easy. And I want to suggest to you, I remember my first time I had to fire somebody, and I talked to a close friend, and he gave me some advice. He was a manager and had to fire people over the years he served as a manager. And he said, if it's easy, it's wrong. You should struggle with it. Even though they've given you right cause to fire them, you should still not relish in it because it's with the wrong attitude. So if you have to deliver a hard message to somebody, it best be done in love because you want what's best for them. And notice Eli received it well, because it was whatever was good for him. And you know that Samuel delivered it in humility and in love because the message was received. If we don't speak in love, we are a bunch of, we're hypocrites, a bunch of noise. We're a clanging song and a banging cymbal. Can't be heard if you don't speak in love. But if you speak in love, you can be heard, even if it's a hard message. Make sense? Really challenging most times, okay? So then it finishes verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. It's a real cool phrase there. He carried everything to its proper destination. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested to as a prophet of the Holy One. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. Pretty cool, huh? He was a little boy, and we know later that Samuel will anoint David, King David, later, also a young man at that time. But here Samuel, the old young person, received the word of the Lord and was able to deliver it because he listened well, and he learned to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen? Thank you. Word of the Lord even. Excellent. Now, the video upstairs kind of gave you some parameters, but I'm going to give you some more parameters. We've talked about this. I want to review them. But the Lord speaks within certain parameters. He's not capricious. He cannot lie. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't tell you one thing over here, and then years later says another thing. And there are holy books out there, I put in quotes, that do that. And if you've read certain books, which we'll talk about later, and I won't name them right now, but they start out one way and they end up another way. And they're contradictory. People for decades, or dare I say centuries, have tried to find contradictions in the Bible and have what? Have failed. They have found no contradictions. Yes, and they usually find the Lord. Excellent, yeah. Because they take it out of context. And we're going to have a little quiz later to show you how it's done. Okay, but I want you to understand that the word of the Lord is based on the character of God. And he cannot lie. He will not mislead you. He will not say one thing and lead another. He doesn't give you something to take it away. And he goes, na-na-na-na-na. Or big-a-boom, bada-boom, whatever that is, okay? So, first I want you to remember that Isaiah says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, 9. First of all, though, the Lord does not play favorites. He doesn't pick one person over another, one race over another, one gender over another. And that's found in Joel. So if you know where Joel's at, and I was hoping Lori's here to help us sing the song, so that you could sing along and find the book of Joel. Out there. You guys know the song? Anybody? It's after Hosea. Yeah. Yeah, remember the group Daniel Amos? I always thought it was Daniel and Amos, but Hosea came way before that. So, so in Joel chapter 2, I'm looking at verses 28 to 32. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I think there's some translations say all flesh, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show you wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood red before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Things say awesome day. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the holy name there. From Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Holy One has said among the survivors whom they call on Yahweh, bless his name. So let's go back. Who's the Spirit fall on? All people. No one particular gender, no particular race, but all people. Then later on it says both men and women. So the Lord is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. The Holy Spirit falls on men and falls on women. Women have just as much to say in the Spirit as men do. He doesn't play favorites. And there are some denominations and stripes out there that feel that he only speaks to men. And the women must kowtow to that. I do not find that in my Bible. As a matter of fact, Jesus raised women up to a high level. And this whole thing with Judge Kavanaugh and all this other stuff, they were so strawmanning it, so rule of the mob. It was just painfully sad. But women are respected, and it appears. How many women came forward to testify he was a good man? A bunch more than what accused him, you know. And yeah, they got a theology out there that's really heavy. But again, the church should be the first to raise women up to a place of respect and dignity. They have something to say in the Spirit. Amen? So we need to do that. So the Lord does not play favorites. So one of his parameters is he talks to everybody. Now, I don't want to go too far with this, and I've said this over the decades. If the Lord can use a donkey and a whale, he can use me. Okay? So the Lord spoke through a donkey. Okay, Jesus said, if my people stop praising, what's going to happen? Even the rocks will cry out. So he can do rocks and he can do donkeys, but he'd rather do you and me. Okay, with me? So he wants to use people, not inanimate objects, but if he has to, he can drop back and pick up a whale or a donkey along the way. Okay, so let's be keeping that from happening. Next, secondly, it's never contrary to his word. The book you have here, there are things that are hard and appear contrary. My favorite one is in Proverbs. Do not rebuke a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him, but rebuke a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Wait, that says don't. No, it says don't be like them when you rebuke them. You idiot! But rebuke them gently and graciously so they're unwise in their own eyes. It's really easy to explain, but if you look at it in one eyes, it's real contradictory. But 1 Corinthians 4:6, I want us to read that. And Paul's using that as an example. I had it marked in my Bible. There it is. Too many bookmarkers. Pick it up in context. Now remember, the Corinthians had a little difficulty receiving Paul's apostleship, so he's trying to give them, they had super apostles. Verse 1 of chapter 4. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must first prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. And I say that a lot, frankly. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, verse 5 says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. So basically saying, quit fretting. At that time, each will receive a praise from God. Verse 6. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos, so for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over and against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you've not received? And if you did receive it, why do you boast about it as if you did not? And he goes on to talk about this. But he basically says in verse 7, or verse 6 there, do not go beyond what is written. This is the final rule. This is the canon. This is the reed that filters your visions, filters your dreams, that you make sure you heard it right. It does not go beyond it. Jesus himself said the word of God cannot be broken. The word of God cannot be broken. It must be fulfilled. How many times did Jesus say it is written, actually. It is finished. He only said it once. But how many times it is written? Or do you not read in your book? He was constantly going back to the Bible when he debated the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians. He went back to say, here's the authority. Jesus said it a lot. It is written. Has the word of God not said? And on he went. So he had a high view of Scripture because Scripture gives us the parameters through which the Lord speaks. But he speaks again in visions and dreams as well. And in this section, lastly, it always honors Jesus. Whatever you get, it always honors Jesus. There are two verses, or three actually. If you know them by heart, great. If not, that's okay too. Hebrews 1:1. Start there first, and we'll go back toward the front of the Bible. Hebrews 1:1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Verse 2. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through him whom he made the universe. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification, as he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven, so he became as much superior to angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. And you can just see there, Jesus is superior to everything because it always honors him. And another one you need to know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And again, I'm not proof texting. I'm giving you entire passages, if you noticed. Okay? Now about spiritual gifts, my brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So the Spirit who infuses the Word of God, it's inspired, always honors Jesus. In John 16:14, it says the Spirit will give me glory, will bring glory to my name. He'll take what is mine and give it to you, and all this other fun stuff. But the Spirit never contradicts Jesus. He always honors Jesus. Is that right? You got that with me? Years ago, in decades, galaxies far, far away, I was an interpreter in a group, a small charismatic group at Catholic Church, and I would interpret what was said. Okay, I was one of two interpreters, and one guy was just hauling off and blaspheming God in some language, and I'm interpreting. I'm going, oh, I can't say these things. These are really nasty, and I went to the leader because we're all in the small. I said, I can't interpret that because that's. What do you mean you can't interpret? I can't tell you what it says because he's saying bad things, and he said, oh, not in our spirit-filled group. Well, why do you trust me with everything else? You don't trust me with this. I wasn't that animated back then. Yes, I was. And so I was challenging. I go, wait a second. That's what the Lord used to get me out of that group. But what was interesting was there were people in the group that were cursing out the Lord, and that was not by the Holy Spirit. Not by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will never curse out Jesus, never defame Jesus. And I want to share something with you that's kind of hard as a former culty programmer. It's fascinating to me how people can talk about God, and they can talk about the Spirit, but they cannot talk about Jesus. That fascinates me. Because God the Father is revealed by Jesus, and Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives glory to Jesus. They have a problem talking about Jesus. I got a problem with their spirit. You with me? If they can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, then what spirit are they referring to? I don't know, but probably not holy. Now, they may be ignorant, they may be an Apollos, and they may be young in the Lord, or maybe naive, so I want to give them some space here. But if they can't talk about Jesus, they got a problem, because he's the one who came. There's no other name given to men by which you might be saved, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, the Lord, glory of the Lord. And it says, and Jesus shall be confessed Lord. There's another issue. And so we've got this stuff here. He's like, so the three parameters. The Lord doesn't play favorites. There's more. I just gave you three this morning. Never contradicts the Word of God, and it always honors Jesus. Always honors Jesus. Amen? We want to build families here that are godly families. So to you all you influential family members, grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, whatever you have to influence people, encourage your children to read the Word. Encourage your children to read the Word. How do you do that? You read it with them. Real simple. Okay? Children's Bibles are just fine. Now, we have some over here that were donated. You can pick one up if you don't have one. You can give it to families that don't have them. We got Bibles over here. I was reminded a couple of Friday morning. Was it yesterday morning? Was it Friday morning, yesterday morning at the Bible study. Got two Bible studies mixed up in my head. I was reminded, I was 3 or 5 years ago, easily 5 years ago probably, and I'm up here and I look out and I see people with their arms on people's, you know, and nobody has their Bible in their hands. And I said, we're a Bible church. Why don't we have Bibles? Now we have Bibles, okay? But back then, it was like 5 or 6 people, and we had about 60 people back then. It was just amazing. And so Jim got a crate of Bibles, and someone else donated some Bibles. We started handing them out when people came in. Here's the Bible. Go. Because we're a Bible church. We start here. Now, we're not theologically a Bible church in classic traditional sense, because we're not as culturally, you know, that kind of stuff. But biblically, my opinion, we're very biblical. Our theology comes out of this book, and it's Jesus-centered, okay? And that's what we're all about here. We want to read what the Bible says about Jesus, Old, New Testament. That's why I preach Old, New, alternating, and try to give you the whole counsel of God. But the fact is, it's got to be heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, one of our fantastic programs for children is Awanas, all plural and singular. Yes, you, most of you, like, what, 80% here are in the Awanas. But the point is, what can you do to help these kids with the Word of God in Awana? Be a listener. Real simple. Takes a lot of moxie to be a listener. Yeah, you got to keep your mouth shut because you're in there to learn to help. Yeah, and so you listen. It is hard. That's why I use tape sometimes. I have my handkerchief. I put that in my mouth. Just listen. Yes, you encourage them to learn the verse. You want them to grab onto that verse because you want them to dig that word of God deep in their souls so that when they hear something outside, which I'm going to give you a test in a little bit here, that you know that's not the word of God. You know that's not the voice of Jesus because you know the voice of Jesus because you know his voice and you will not listen to another, John 10 tells us. But how do you get to know his voice? You read his word. And it starts with little kids. It starts with little kids. And if you didn't come to the Lord till you're 18, 20, it starts then. But you devour the Word of God. My first Bible was a Gideon Bible, and then somebody gave me the Scofield, and I bought a Thompson Chain reference, and guess what language they were? They were all the King's language. They were all the King's language. And I learned them in the King's language. So a lot of verses you'll get from the Rossman version, because I'm mixing them. Then my next Bible, when the NIV came out in 1974, I bought the New Testament right away. And I still got my original Bible, and I got it color-coded even then, because I was going to get the Rainbow Bible for anybody else got there. I didn't get there. Somebody beat me to the press. But I devoured that word. I read that 5 or 10 times easily. It's the New Testament alone. And I had the whole Gospel of John memorized, most of Matthew. And if I knew if it wasn't in Matthew and John, it must be in Luke or Mark. So I did that by process of elimination. And now you think you know it, and then you read a little, the Lord stood there. I thought I knew 1 Samuel 3. Nope. So you never know it all. Even though how much you've read it, bunches of times, you got to go back and keep reading it. Even as an adult, you got to model for your kids, and that takes time, line upon line, precept upon precept. In our pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to sharpen your listening skills. Sharpen your listening skills. Are you in tune with the Lord? Do you recognize his voice? And again, I repeat, Blackaby said, if not, you got a lot of learning. Listening takes time, quality and quantity. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not listen to another. And the only way to know his voice is to know his word. I have enough here, I think. You don't have to, don't answer these right away. John, if you help me pass this out again. Okay, you're faster than I noticed, but that's okay. Yeah, you can look at them and read them, but just there's three there. And there's two there. And I should turn off my mic at this point. You see? The pastor's feet now? Is it? Oh, he's getting pens. Oh, I will fight back those puns that just came to my mind. I will fight those back. Okay, so all of you who have these, this is a class I used to teach called Challenge of the Cults. And I've done it since 1970s, but I've amended it over the years. Actually, Walter Martin beat me to press, too. I had a cult Bible I was going to publish as well, and Walter Martin beat me to press, and I got to meet him, too. It was kind of neat. So, all right, is it in the Bible, yes or no? Our first section on our Bible quiz, number one, it is by God's grace you are saved after all you can do. Where is it at? 2 Nephi. This is from 2 Nephi. You guys know 2 Nephi? Yeah, I knew 2 Nephi. This is back when I knew the real wall. Okay, that's 2 Nephi 25:23. Yes, Book of Mormon. It is by God's grace you are saved. So they agree with that, but then what does it say after that? After all you can do. So it's not all grace. Verse number two. Question two. He who is not with me and he who does not gather with me scatters. Who said that? Not Buddha. Jesus said that. Okay. Think not that I am come to bring peace, but a sword. Who said that? That's Jesus too, yes. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Yeah. If you've ever had jury duty, you hear that a lot. That's the one verse everybody knows in the Bible. I'm not allowed to have jury duty because judge not, lest ye be judged. But then Jesus also says, judge with righteous judgment. That Jesus said, verse number four there. Number five, one of my favorites, every good turn deserves another. Jesus didn't say that? Left or right? Yeah, it's the right, it's the threads, you know. Yeah, somebody's mother probably. It's a common proverb. Number six, God helps those who help themselves. Do you know my mother told me? She said, that's in the Bible. I said, it is not. She said, it is too. Show me. And she says, you got to show me it's not in the Bible. I can't show you it's not in the Bible. You have to show me it's in the Bible. Okay, who said that? Anybody know? Poor Richard's Almanac. Who wrote that? Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin said this. But this is very common. Someone just quoted me this the other day. I was, God helps those who help themselves. So I just smiled. My former self would have hammered them, but I was gracious and kind. Yep. God is one, and his prophet Muhammad. Who said that? Muhammad said that. Yeah, they say the angel Gabriel whispered it in his ear. And by the way, that's how you become a Muslim. All you do is have to say that and then pray 5 times a day and do the other stuff. But that's not Jesus. Amen? Amen. Number 8, to err is human, to forgive divine. Obviously, it's in the Bible, right? No? Who said that? Well, President of the United States. Yes, he dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. No, Truman, Harry Truman. Harry Truman said that in one of his speeches. Oh, okay. He who has the Son has life, but he. What is wrong?
It's to err, not error.
Well, whoever wrote it is stupid, okay? Oh, I got tons of mistakes. This is when I was in college, people. I was right. I didn't have a wife to correct me. Yes, I wrote this back when I was doing culty programming, yes. Okay. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Who said that? Jesus in John 3. John 3:36. Jesus said that. John 3:36. And that's when I would love to quote. You know, my Jesus freak fire days, man? Yeah. You don't have the Son, the wrath of God's on you. Number 10. To him that is given much, much is required. Jesus said that in Luke. I believe it's 10, but I'm not quite sure. Okay. Did Eve eat an apple, a pear, or an unnamed fruit? We all know it's an apple, right? Because that's why we still have apples today? No, it was an unnamed fruit because we don't have the fruit. It's still hidden in the garden. Jacob dreamed of angels going up and down a rope, a cliff, or a stairway. This is where Stairway to Heaven comes by Led Zeppelin. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying the Stairway to Heaven. Okay, number 3. Before he began his ministry, Jesus was a fisherman, a carpenter, an evangelist. Yeah, he was a carpenter. Excellent. Number 3, I already did that one. 4, Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. The temple, the walls of the roads. The walls of Jericho. No, the walls of the temple. Yeah, the walls of the Jerusalem. Number 5, he was told to remove his sandals for who? Thank you. To remove his sandals for he was standing on holy ground. Joshua, Moses, or Isaiah?
Moses.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Match each solving headline with the person who most closely connected with the story. Not all names are used. Abandoned youth survives. Ishmael? Could be Ishmael. You thought it was Joseph, right? Number 2, upstanding citizen disappears.
Elijah
and Enoch, too. Good. Yeah. Number 1 is Ishmael. He was abandoned. Okay. Governor orders babies killed. The Supreme Court. King Herod. Kill all the babies in Bethlehem. Third year without rain. That's Elisha, yes. No, Elijah. That's Elijah. That's Elijah. Or Grand Junction. Troubled executive takes own life. Huh? Yes, King Saul. You're right. Yes, you did find the answer key. Very good. Okay, pornography on the rise. Yeah, Lot or Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot. Okay, man survives. Yeah, yes. Man survives death chamber.
What?
6 is G. Ezekiel. Oh, that's a good one. I'd still say Lot, but it's okay. 7, man survives death chamber. That's Daniel. 1 killed in riot. Stephen, yes. He did the killing. Yeah. Okay. Cabinet official guilty of racial prejudice. Haman, yes. Haman or Hammond. Okay. Homosexuals form majority in city. That's Lot. Right. But again, the purpose of this is, do you know the Word of God so well that you can know these things? And I remember this was several years ago, probably in the early 2000s, when I was doing a council time in TNT. It wasn't called TNT back then. It was the older guys, guards and chums are young ones. Pals, it was Pioneers and Guards, yeah, and the two older groups. And I was up in this room here, and I said, "Who had the talking donkey?" And what would you guys say? That's what they said. She said Balaam, but they all said Shrek. And I went, "Oh my goodness! This is in the early. This is in, you know, the 2000s, from like 3 to 7. They didn't know the Bible. We suddenly were in a culture where they didn't know the Bible. And there's a lot of phrases today. You can't assume. I remember when we had young Christians here, that I'd say, "Oh, David," and they thought I was talking about the guy down the street, or how Paul says something. So we have to be really careful that we identify and help these young believers know the Word of God as well, not just through Awana, but through our Bible studies and Sunday school classes as well. So lastly, that was fun, wasn't it? Jesus points prayer. Remember, all points point to Jesus because he's the power to live the point. Lord Jesus Christ, may your voice be so clear to me that I have no doubt it is you in your name. Amen. And you may want to add, and I will obey it. Okay? You may want to add that. I intentionally didn't add that because I want to force you guys to say, to say it. I want you just to do it willingly in that. So let's stand as we close here today and pray this prayer, and I'll finish up together. Lord Jesus Christ, may your voice be so clear to me that I have no doubt it is you in your name. Heavenly Father, you've heard our hearts cry to you. We pray that you will indeed allow us the privilege of sensing your presence and hearing your voice this week through your word, through circumstances, through our brothers and sisters, and most definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we might be a people who are pleasing to you because we heard your voice and we obeyed his promptings. May Jesus be honored in our lives, in our homes, and in this city. In Jesus' name, amen.